It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Friday, July 1st. I'm Patricia Naft. After months of investigation, the Delta County Sheriff's Office made an arrest in a credit card fraud case. According to Sheriff Fred McKee, the scam involved a credit card skimmer inserted into the card reader at a gas station pump.
Due to the fact that number of people that were right here, especially in the Delta area, that were having their cards used illegally, we felt it had to be right here in town somewhere. So we were able to track down, and through some pretty exhausting investigative work, able to track down which pump that was actually coming out of. And then we watched that pump until we were able to see the individuals gathering their information.
The investigation led them to five homes, one of them in Grand Junction. They suspected large amounts of marijuana were being grown at these locations. After getting search warrants, they passed the marijuana charges off to the DEA and arrested Joaquin Morales on a federal fraud charge. McKee believes the people involved are connected to criminal activities in Larimer County and Florida. The Department of the Interior has released final rules changing the way royalties are calculated for federal oil, coal, and natural gas. Wyoming Public Radio's Stephanie Joyce reports.
Companies pay the federal government royalties for the right to drill or mine public resources. But in recent years, critics have charged that the American people are not getting the full royalties they're owed because of loopholes in the rules and a lack of transparency. The new rules change the way sales between affiliated companies are treated and reduce the number of deductions companies can make from the final sale price of the coal, oil, or gas. Industry groups immediately criticized the new rules, saying they'll discourage mineral development on federal lands. But the Department of the Interior says changes to the rules are necessary since they haven't been updated since the 1980s. For Inside Energy, I'm Stephanie Joyce.
Republican El Paso County Commissioner Daryl Glenn will challenge Democratic incumbent Senator Michael Bennett this fall. Benta Berkland sat down with political reporters to talk about Glenn's success in the five-way GOP primary race and what he and Bennett are now up against this November.
I'm here with John Frank, a reporter for the Denver Post, and Megan Schrader with the Colorado Springs Gazette. Here's some tape from the Denver Post of Daryl Glenn giving his acceptance speech.
People are frustrated. They're angry. They're tired of politicians saying one thing and then getting elected to office and completely forgetting about the people that they left behind.
It was a crowded field. Glenn raised very little money, and he also doesn't have much statewide name recognition. Why did he end up winning by such a sizable margin?
Daryl Glenn carried El Paso County, which really helped him. And part of that is because he is a known quantity in El Paso County. He's been a longtime city council member. He was on the El Paso County Commission.
And John, he built himself trying to stand out from the field as the true constitutional Christian conservative. Are those the type of voters that were coming out in this primary?
The primary had pretty low interest among Republican voters in Colorado. We've got 1.1 million Republican voters in Colorado. Turnout here was in the mid-300,000. So the people that came out were diehard Republicans. These are people that heard Daryl Glenn at the state GOP convention, heard his rabble-rousing speech, and knew him from visiting Tea Party meetings and other party events in recent months. So these are the people that supported him from the start. They showed up. He won.
He also had some high-profile support from former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, who endorsed him. Texas Senator Ted Cruz also came to Colorado and campaigned for Glenn leading up to this election. What are some of Glenn's top priorities?
In his victory speech, Glenn outlined three priorities, but didn't offer many specifics at all. They were national security, energy independence, and fiscal responsibility. But on the stump, we've learned a lot more about Daryl Glenn, and he'll provide quite a contrast to Michael Bennett here, because Glenn is adamantly against abortion rights. He has aligned himself, like you said, with Cruz and Ben Sasse and the government shutdown crowd in Washington. And he's also opposing the Senate deal on immigration that Bennett helped write and supported.
How do you think this is going to play out to a purple state, and we've got a lot of unaffiliated voters?
Take the abortion issue, for example. When Daryl Glenn spoke at the state assembly, he opened his speech by saying that I will protect unborn children, something to that effect. Then in several debates since then, he's been a little softer on the issue. saying things like, if it were my daughter, you know, we would have a conversation. So I do think that he is trying to, I don't want to say come back to the middle, but at least trying to soften his rhetoric on that.
How about Bennett? What's his strategy?
Bennett right now has enjoyed a very little scrutiny. He's out there on TV running ads that tout himself as the can-do senator and the can't-do Congress, as the Washington Post headline said recently. Bennett will try to appeal to people as someone who's getting things done. Now, he'll also get tripped up by major issues, whether it's fracking or maybe even some of the issues tied to Hillary Clinton's campaign, since he's a pretty loyal Clintonite.
Looking at the numbers here in terms of fundraising, huge disparities.
Exactly. Daryl Glenn essentially starts the general election flat broke and with very little campaign infrastructure. He did hire a political strategist in the final weeks of this campaign, but otherwise had a volunteer staff. He has got to build a November campaign from scratch and doesn't have much time to do it. And even his allies say he's got to raise at least $4 million on his own. There's no proof that he can even reach that target.
Let me play devil's advocate. If there was an underdog who could pull it out, it might be Daryl Glenn, who from the beginning has been underestimated and has kept telling people, I can win this with a tank of gas. No one thought he could beat two self-funded candidates the way he did in the primary. Could he pull it out in November without significant funding?
We'll find out. Stay tuned. Thanks. That was Megan Schrader with the Colorado Springs Gazette and John Frank with the Denver Post. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver.
For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.